We're not.
There's three on.
Huh?
Three people, I think.
Okay, so yeah. Well, I'm going to bring a message this morning from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. But before we do anything, we've been waiting at the end of the services to pray. But let's pray at the beginning of the meeting this morning. And let's bow our hearts together. Our Father, our gracious, eternal God, in your gracious providence, blessed providence, you've allowed us to meet. You've allowed us to worship. Even though we can't meet collectively, you've opened this door. And what a blessed door it is. We can still preach. We can still meet. We can still worship. Because worship is something of the heart. And we can worship you no matter where we are. And God bless these dear saints that's gathered in this morning. And Lord, use them. And my preacher brethren that's having to preach this way, God bless them. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us this hearing. And Lord, we pray for those among us who are weak and frail. We continue to pray for Dee Dee and her family, for Bruce and Sandy and Bruce Crabtree, Joe, Don and Shelby, God, the dear saints of God who are being tried, and for all this nation, Lord, have mercy on it. Have mercy on it. That's what we ask. Please meet our needs today, enable me to speak to thy glory and the good of your people. For Christ's sake, amen. Well, as I said, it's delightful to be here this morning. And I pray that the Lord would be pleased to meet with us. Now, if you've got your Bibles and you want to follow along this morning, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that he in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God had made the earth and the heavens. Now, is God resting because he's tired? Is God resting because he's weary? Is God resting because he's worked too hard? No, of course not. When we talk about God resting, and God resting, he rested because the earth or the work had been finished. And as the hurt, you know, only after God had finished the heavens and the earth did he rest. Did he rest? You know, I may say it this way. God found no rest until he had finished all of his works. And that's the way it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, our Lord said that God gave me a work. My Father gave me a work. And I must work which the Father hath given me. And I must finish that work. And the same works that he did, I do. You see, Christ is the key to the scriptures. Everything else is a picture or a shadow. And you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, it says, by him all things that were made, and by him all things consist, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. So as God finished his work, and he rested, not because he was tired, not because he was weary, not because he was wore out, because the work was finished. And that's what anybody does. Now, God didn't, even as he done his work, he was not weary in doing his work. And the Sabbath, it's called the Sabbath. You know, God called it the seventh day. The Jews calls it the Sabbath. A lot of Reformed people call it the Sabbath. But according to the scriptures, the Sabbath just means rest. Day of rest. And the rest of God, here when God entered into this seventh day, which the Jews call the Sabbath, seventh day, there was a ceasing of work. And God saw a perfect satisfaction in the work that He did. And you know, God alone did the work. No one else helped Him. He didn't need any help. I mean, He alone did the work. And He had a perfect satisfaction in His work. I mean, a perfect satisfaction. And His rest was His alone, not anybody else's. And so, let me show you a few things here about the Sabbath, or the day of rest. As we say, God rested. Look in verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His works which God had created. The seventh day, God fixed the seventh day and settled by God to be a day of rest, a time of rest and joy to Himself and His creation. God set this day apart. And He said it was a time of rest, a time of joy. It was a time of satisfaction to Himself and all creation. Look what He says in verse 31 of chapter 1. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. God can't do it. You know, He started a good work. You know, Paul called what He did for us was a good work. A good work. God worked in us a good work. And I tell you, beloved, it was a time of joy and rest for Himself. And here's the thing about it. The first thing I want you to see about it, that God ordained this day. And it was a day of rest. Why was it a day of rest? There's no more work to be done. God finished the work. He didn't rest because He was tired. He didn't rest because He was weary. God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And He says, you know, except the Lord keep the house, the watchman waketh in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the workers, watchers wake in vain. And I tell you, but because of every good thing that had been done, that could be done, God did it. And that's why the rest was so wonderful, even to Him. And He did it for us. He did it for us. And it was a day of rest that He ordained, not because He was weary, but because everything that could be done was already done. And then not only that, but it was a day of blessing. God gave it a day of blessing. Look what He says there in verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day. God blessed it. The special favor of God was on this day. And that's what we're talking about, a rest now. And God blessed it. The special favor of God was on this. Because everything was done. God delighted in this day. God delighted in the rest that He had accomplished. God's truth, God's work, God's things, everything that He was, God's satisfaction was in this day of rest. And so we have this blessed day of rest. Day of rest, day of blessing. And then it was a separated day. Oh my, listen to what He said here again in verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Sanctified it. And what does sanctified mean? I've told you so many times, it means to set apart. It just means to set apart. And what God did is He set apart this day, this rest, as His inheritance and as His work, as something that He was satisfied in. And when God sanctifies anything, He sets it apart. And He says, this is mine. This is my day. This is a day of rest. And He set it apart. It's His possession. It's His inheritance. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it manifests in the creation. The creation and the day of rest, because it manifested His wisdom. Do you know the wisdom that was involved in creating the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that was in them? And all the worlds that He made, that He made man out of the dust of the earth and created a man and set him upright and breathed in his nostrils and he became a living soul. The wisdom of God in creating the world and setting the world in like He did. And it goes on today just like it was from the day He created it. And I tell you, beloved, it was a manifestation of His power. Oh, the power of God. You know the power of His Word. He just spake and it was done. You know, He just spake the power of God, the power of His Word. And His Word has got the same power today. I mean, as He spoke the world into existence, He said, let there be light. And there was light. And then when God said, there be light into our hearts and souls, He commanded the light to shine into dark, out of darkness into our hearts. You know, so God, He Himself, His Word still has the power. By His Word, He created the heavens and the earth. And all the goodness of God when He created this world. Made all the glory and all the beauty. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament shows His handiwork. He calls the stars by name. He stretched out the heavens as a curtain. So, oh my, the goodness of God. And then, oh, the goodness of God to make a man. And make a man in His own image. And all the authority of God. Oh, the glorious authority of God. He did not say, who has ever been my counselor? Who did I ever ask a question of? Who did I look to? He did not need any authority. You know, they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, by what authority do You do these things? The works that He did. He said, I'll ask you one question. John the Baptist, was he from heaven or was he of men? They said, well, if we say he was not a prophet and he was of man, then people's going to get on to us. And then if we say he's of God, then we'll have to admit that Christ is of God. They said, we don't know. And our Lord, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. God did not need any authority to do what He did. His authority is Himself. He's a law unto Himself. He answers to no one under any circumstances at any time. And that's why it's so blasphemous for men to question God and call God into question. And when He has His electing grace and His salvation. Here's another reason why God separated this day and now sanctified it. It shows His glorious purpose. Oh, what a purpose God had. Do you know why God created this world? To put man in this world. Put man in this world. And He put man into this world so man could worship Him and honor Him and magnify Him and preach His gospel and give us His blessed word. Oh, He had a purpose in creation. And the purpose of creation was that His blessed Son would come into this world. Everything that happened started before the foundation of the world. And it came into time. And Christ fulfills the purpose of God. God had a purpose. And let me tell you something else about this blessed day of rest when God rested. It was a day of grace for man. When God made man, He said, let us make man in our own image. And so He made man. And God made man on the sixth day. The sixth day. And the first day that came up and dawned on man, on Adam, the first day he existed, the day of rest is what he entered into. You know, when God made him on the sixth day, the seventh day when God entered into his rest, Adam got up. And the first day of his life and existence was a day of rest. Why? Because the work was done. The work was done. And oh my, he entered into the rest of God just like God did. Man immediately entered into the enjoyment and the blessedness of the rest of his Creator. Oh, he entered into that rest. God had finished the work. And man enters into the work that God did. Enters into the rest that God accomplished. Entered into the rest that God Himself ordained and set apart. And oh my, and he enjoyed all that God had made. God put him in the garden. And I tell you, beloved, it's God's grace that brings man into such a blessed, blessed possession as the rest of God. Oh, what a blessed day and blessed thing it is to enter into the rest of God. Now, wait a minute. But the rest day, the day of rest, this Sabbath, this first day when God entered into his rest, that Sabbath, that rest was destroyed. Adam didn't enjoy the rest of God for very long. You know why he didn't? Because Satan came into the garden. And what he did when he came into the garden, he tempted Eve. And when God told Adam, you can eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of good and evil. Oh, don't eat that. And Satan come along and he tempted Eve. And she ate of that fruit. She saw it was good for food, make her wise, made her, open her eyes. She never seen things she saw before. But now the commandment came to Adam. Well, she gave to Adam, and Adam ate. And the moment Adam ate it, he lost his rest and enjoyment of God. Instead of enjoying God now and having the rest of God, you know what Adam did? He ran from God and hid from God. He lost his rest. He lost his enjoyment. He lost his peace. And he entered into shame and guilt and embarrassment. And God had to go get him. Sin ruined man for the enjoyment of God's rest. And ever since that day, man has been trying to devise a way to enter into a rest. He devises his free will. Free will can't enter in and do a rest. Living a holy life won't cause you to enter into a rest. All the prayers you can pray won't cause you to enter into a rest. Joining a church won't cause you to enter into a rest. Tom won't quit my sinning. That won't cause you to enter into a rest. You see, the rest this day was a gift of God to man. And you know what? After this, it comes back to him as a law. It was a day of rest, and he could have rested and enjoyed that rest. But sin ruined that rest. And it ruined the rest for all of man. And now the rest, day of rest, the Sabbath day, comes back to him in the form of a commandment. And God says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Keep it holy. And I tell you what, look with me now. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ, here's the thing about it. There was a man, a preacher friend of mine, back when he was in Reformed religion, he went over to England. And while he was over there, he was going to preach in a church over there. And he had an appointment to preach over there. And then when he got over there, him and his wife went out looking around and enjoying themselves. And he was supposed to preach on Sunday night. Well, that particular church called it the Sabbath. And he was getting ready to went to the people's house where he was supposed to preach. And they said, what did y'all do today? He said, well, we went around sightseeing, went here and went yonder and everywhere. And they said, well, since you've broken the Sabbath, we're going to have to cancel your service tonight. We can't let you preach tonight. You broke the Sabbath. You broke the Sabbath. And there's people today in Orthodox and Reformed churches that they talk about if you mess up the Sabbath. You're not supposed to don't play basketball on the Sabbath. Don't go on your porch and swing on the Sabbath. Don't go out and eat on the Sabbath. And I tell you what, beloved, the Sabbath is supposed to be a day of rest. And man destroyed that, and now it comes back as a law. It comes back as a curse. Not a blessing, started out as a blessing. And everything man touches, it comes back to him as a curse. Anything that he sets his hand to do, it comes back to him as a curse. God gives him a blessing and man turns it into a work. Man will take God's blessing and turn it into a curse. God will bless a man with wealth and he'll turn that into a curse to himself. But oh, look here in Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that. Now listen to this, which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Eating is not lawful to eat, not even eat on the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read? Don't you fellas read your Bible? You know everything about the law, but don't you read your Bible? Didn't you read what David did when he was hungry and those that were with him? How he entered into the tabernacle in the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law? And he goes back to him again. He said, don't you read your word? Don't you read the scriptures? Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you, Christ talking about himself, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, talking about himself, I will have mercy. This is what I have. I'll have mercy. And I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your keeping of the law. I don't want you going around here finding fault with everything. It said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. And if you understood that, you would not have condemned or judged the guiltless like they just did, talking about them going through. And listen to what our master said. For the Son of Man is the Lord. He's the Creator. He's the Master. Over the Sabbath day. The day don't make any difference. Now, you know, I've seen that this is supposed to be Holy Week. Holy Week. I don't know what Holy Week is. They say it starts on Palm Sunday. And then it ends on Easter. But I tell you something. Every day is God's day. And every day belongs to God. We don't set apart a week and say this is God's week or this is God's day. Every day is God's day. Every day belongs to Him. And I tell you what, and that's why our Lord Jesus Christ, He's Lord of this day. He's Lord of yesterday. He's Lord of me. He's Lord of you. And I'm thankful that it's that way. And I tell you what, and you know and when they was going through the wilderness, no manna fell on the Sabbath day. To enjoy that now, they had to have together a double on the sixth day. It ceased to be of grace then, but it was of works. They were under the curse. It wasn't of grace anymore, it was works. It was still works. And anything that you try to get a blessing from God by keeping a day or an hour or a dress code or anything else, you are putting yourself under a curse. But now let me show you how the Sabbath was restored. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us a Sabbath. He gave us a rest. And that rest was restored in our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Hebrews chapter 3. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, when our Lord was on the cross and He cried out, it is finished. You know what was finished? The same thing that God did on the day that creation was finished, He rested. He rested. Why? Because the work was done. The work was accomplished. It was finished. It was finished. But look here in Hebrews 3 and verse 18. And we're going to go down through here for a few minutes. And here he said, and God's speaking, Paul's talking about God. And he said, to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? Who did God swear that men and women would not enter into his rest? But them that did not believe. Them that didn't believe. But now wait a minute. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. Oh my, huh? Now listen. Now what? Let us therefore fear. Thus of those who know God, those who believe the Scriptures. Let us fear. Lest a promise being left of us, of entering, he gave us a promise about entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to court short of it. How could you come short of this rest? And that means just being like A day late is what it means. For unto us, me and you, and those who've heard the gospel, was the gospel preached. But it was preached to them too. Preached to them too. Where was it preached at? In the Passover. In all the works that God did down there. But the word preached didn't do them any good. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. But now listen to this right here. For we which have believed do enter into rest. If you're a believer, you're in rest. You're resting. We which believe do enter into rest. Didn't say which work, which kept a Sabbath day, which kept some kind of a deed to do. No. We which have believed have entered into his rest. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works, here's the thing, were finished from the foundation of the world. The works has always been done. The work was always finished. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day, and on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remains that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached, they didn't enter into this rest. Why? Because they tried to dishonor God. They did not believe. They did not believe. They went back to the law. They went back to rituals. They went to ceremonies. And they entered not in because of unbelief. And look what it says now here in verse 8. For if Jesus or if Joshua, when they entered into the Canaan, had given them rest, if that had happened, if he could have given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Oh, another day. What other day is he talking about? The day of rest, the day of accomplishment, the day of a work finished. Therefore, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. Them which believe and those that are God's people. Two people, two type of people enter into this rest. God's people and them which believed. And for he that is entered into his rest, listen to this, he hath also ceased from his own works. As God did from his. God ceased from his works because it was done. We cease from our works because Christ finished the work. Oh, Christ did this. And I tell you this, through him, another work has been finished. What was that work that was done? Our Father gave him a work, gave him a people, gave him a work to do. What was that work to do? He had to come here, and he lived under God's law. He honored and obedient perfectly to God his Father. Everything his Father gave him to do, he did. Everything God gave him to say, he said. Everything and everyone God gave him to give, gave to him, he saved them by his blessed grace. And I tell you, he put away sin. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And our Lord Jesus Christ put away that sin that Adam brought into this world, and he brought in obedience that Adam disobeyed in this world, and he brought in everything that Adam destroyed. He come back and accomplished it and destroyed death, destroyed hell, destroyed sin, and everything that was against us. And he obeyed the law, and we fulfill the law in him. And I tell you what, God is satisfied. As God was satisfied with that work that he finished, God is satisfied with his blessed Son who finished the work. And I'm satisfied with God's blessed Son. I'm not looking for anything else. That the blessed, most blessed word in the gospel to me is God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Satisfaction. Satisfaction. Oh, people used to say, I wonder if he's satisfied with me. No, he's not satisfied with you. But he's satisfied with his Son. And who else is He satisfied? Those that are in His Son. Why? Because we've entered into His rest. We've come to where Christ is, and we come to Him. Our Lord Jesus said this. He said this, "Come unto Me, all you that labor." And oh, we labor to understand. We labored under self-righteousness. We labored under self-glory. We labored in our works. We labored in our fundamentalism. We labored in our Bible reading. We labored in our tithe paying. We labored. And He said, "Come unto Me that are heavy laden and burdened." And oh, the burden we bore. He said, "Come unto Me and I will give you rest. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you." And then He come on and then He says this, "And then, after I give you this rest, then you shall find rest for your soul." He gives it to you. And when He gives it to you, you say, "Oh, where'd this rest come from? He gave it." And then we rest in Him. We rest in Him. Oh my. And there's another day of rest proclaimed. Oh my, this day of in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we enter into His rest, what He did. And this rest means to all of us what it meant to Adam before the fall. You know, and what it means, we're ceasing from our works. We're ceasing from our works. Man, I'm not working to get anything. I've already got everything. What would I work for? How would God pay my wages if I was working for Him? What kind of wages would I get? If I was working to get wages from God, you know what the only places you'll find wages at in the Scriptures is, in the New Testament, is that the wages of sin is death. And if you're working to be accepted of God, the wages of sin, and that's what it is death. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It's a ceasing from works. Everything we do now is because God's already blessed us. I don't have any work to do. Christ did it. I'm resting in what He did. And I tell you something else that we enjoyed that Adam had before the fall. We have fellowship with God. And I'm not just a day at a time, or a minute at a time, or every once in a while when we get in a good spiritual frame and we feel like we've done enough now and so we can rest and be peaceful. But oh no, we're in continual fellowship with God. We come boldly, boldly unto a throne of grace. And we come there to obtain mercy. Oh my, we have fellowship with God all the time. We have fellowship with God when we're working in the yard, fellowship when we're going through the house, fellowship when we're sitting on the porch, fellowship when we're hearing the gospel, fellowship with one another, fellowship with God, communion with God. How? Through His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you something else that we have. We bear His image now. We bear the image of God. How do we bear the image of God? In the Lord Jesus Christ. God made a perfect man, a sinless man, a holy man, the Son of God. And God Himself said, "We're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. We're members of His body." Members of His body. And I tell you what, Christ in us is the hope of glory. And we bear the image of God. We bear the image of Christ. And beloved, one of these days we're going to be without sin. But God stamped in us, put in us, the image of Christ in us. And Christ in us answers to Christ in the Scriptures and Christ in the Gospel. And when God looks at us, He doesn't see us anymore. He sees His Son. He sees His Son. In God's holy Son, I'm as holy as He is. Accepted as He is. As He did it all. And I tell you what, when Adam woke up that morning and entered into that rest, He found all of his possessions in God. Everything he had, God gave him. God put him in the garden. Put him in paradise. And Christ now is all our possession. Everything Christ has, everything Christ is, everything Christ did is ours. He's our possession. And He Himself belongs to us. And we belong to Him. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. And oh my, now we come to rejoice in God. To rejoice in God. We used to rejoice in ourselves. Used to rejoice in our works. Used to rejoice in our standards and our convictions and our hard preaching and holy living and all. We used to rejoice in those things. But now we rejoice in God. Paul said, rejoice, I say, again I say, rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in Him. We're not rejoicing in America. We're not rejoicing in people suffering now through this. We don't rejoice in heartaches and trials and fears and anxieties. But I tell you who we do rejoice in God, who rules everything and controls everything and orders everything, and that will brought this and He'll bring it into it just as He brought it in the days of Egypt. Whatever He brings, and when it accomplishes His will and His purpose, it'll be over and it'll be done with. But we rejoice in God. And we rejoice in whatever He does for us. Whatever He seems to do against us. It's for our good. We were going to rejoice in God. It's like Job. You think it's bad now. And it is bad. I'm not belittling that. But listen, you think it's bad now. Job lost his houses, lost his children, lost his health, lost his wife's approval, all in one day. Do you know what he said? God's too hard on me. This is too rough. I can't bear it. I'm not going to deal with it. This is just too hard to deal with. No, no. Job shaved his head, bowed himself before God, and he said, the Lord gave all this to me. Everything I ever had, God gave to me. It belonged to Him. My children, He gave them to me. My wealth, He gave it to me. My home, He gave it to me. My health, He gave it to me. And if He wants to take it back, it's His to do. And he bowed his head and he said, oh, blessed be the Lord. The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. And that's the way we live in this world. That's the way we live by day, by day, by day. And one of these days we're going to be like Job. We know that our Redeemer liveth. And though He slay me, yet I'm going to trust in Him. That's why we rejoice in God. Those people couldn't enter into rest because of unbelief. Unbelief. We rest, why? Because we believe Christ. We believe Christ. And it talked about he that is entered into his rest hath also ceased from his works. We cease from our works of righteousness, from our law keeping. We're free. Now we rest. We had false notions of God. We had false notions of self. Now we rest from those. We were in bondage to traditions and the works of men. Now we rest. And then it says there in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, therefore, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now when he says there remains a rest to the people of God, and you notice that says that he qualifies who this rest is for, the people of God. He was smitten and afflicted for my people. My people, which are called by my name. They're his people. God's people. And what this is talking about, there remaineth. That means a future rest. There's still a rest out there in the future for us. An eternal rest. rest that when we enter into it, we entered into it now because Christ accomplished it. We entered into Him and His blessed rest. But oh my, there's an eternal rest. There remains a rest yet. It's a future rest. And oh, what a rest that'll be. A rest from this old flesh. A rest from sin. A rest from this corrupt flesh that we have to deal with. A rest from death. A rest from heartache. A rest from fear. A rest from anxiety. A rest from all that will cease to exist. And we're going to a place where the Lord Jesus Christ is on His throne, and only righteousness is there. And oh my, and it's a rest right now by grace. And then it will be a rest in glory. In glory. I heard a fella told me the other day that a man used to talk about going to be with Christ and entering into glory one day. And a fellow on his job asked him, says, "Well, if you know you're going to die tonight, what would you do?" He said, "I'd go home early." I'd go home early. And that's, if we know the Lord's going to call us tonight, let's go ahead and get in bed. So we'd wake up in glory. And that's what we're talking about. Christ, God entered into His rest. And Christ entered into the presence of God. And He obtained eternal redemption for us. And He entered into His rest. He's sitting at God's right hand. And why is He sitting? Why is He sitting down? There was no seat in the tabernacle. There was no seat in the temple. Why is our Lord sitting down? Why there wasn't no seat in the tabernacle and in the temple was because the work was never done. Offering sacrifices over and over and over that could never take away sin. But Christ entered once into that holy place, obtained eternal redemption for us, and He sat down. You know why He sat down? Because the work is done. The work is done. He has finished the work, and those priests can never enter into their rest. But our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, He's sitting at God's right hand. And we enter into His blessed rest. Bless His holy name. What a rest we have. What a rest we enjoy. And God bless every one of you. I love you. Can't hardly wait for the time that we'll be able to gather again and worship again. Gary, let's sing "Come Thou Fount." And then we'll have prayer, okay? You know, we're going to sing "Come Thou Fount." Every one of you already know it. Go ahead.
Come
Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I'm come, and I hope by Thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger was. interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, seal it, seal it to Thy courts above. I'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock.